What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Alrighty, so yesterday, the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department released its quarterly crime stat data for transparency purposes, obviously. Good news, crime overall is up in the city of... bad news, crime is up. Sorry, I thought... Yeah, I saw the number, and I was like, oh, it's an increase. That's a good thing. No, it's not. Crime is up 3% overall in the city of Charlotte. That's not good. Up 3%. I mean, it's not like outpacing inflation at this point, but that's, but 3%, that used to be inflationary, but 3% increase, that's overall crime. But the big headline is the homicide number. And the thing you always got to keep in mind about the homicide numbers, is that usually they are, in the double digits for like the whole year. And so you can, when doing a percentage of 40, for example, and if you get 10 homicides all at once in a quarter and you're at 40, that's now going to be like what, a 25%? Well, I'll just give you these numbers because this is the same kind of deal. It's up 31% from the same period in 2023 because the first quarter of 2024, this year, the first quarter shows 34 homicides, and that's a 31% increase. So what does that mean? Well, 30% of the 30 would be, I mean, I don't know, I was told there'd be no math, but it's like 9, right? Like 9, an increase of 9 or something like that. So hopefully we don't have as many for the rest of the year. And obviously, every single one of these crime stats, these homicide data points, these are human beings that have lost their lives due to criminals in Charlotte-Mecklenburg. And so they do this release of the homicide numbers. That's the number that's getting all of the headlines. But there are other areas of concern because, once again, it's not just the homicides, because those are 34 victims and their families that are now living without their loved ones, their friends, their colleagues, their fellow students, that all are now left to bear that trauma. But there's also all the other crimes, and that's up 3% as well. All these other crimes, and there are victims of those crimes too. Now, granted, those victims are not dead, but those people have still suffered a trauma. Obviously, it's not a trauma like death, like losing a loved one. But it is still traumatizing. In January, this is according to the Charlotte Observer, the paper requested data on shootings at or near Romare Bearden Park in Uptown. They asked for the data going back to 2018 through 2022, so a six-year window. That request came... Now, it's been a long time since I've been on the crime mapping website for CMPD, but didn't, I shouldn't even ask it because I know, like when I was doing home searches, you could go onto the crime mapping system and you could type in addresses, do date range searches, and you could find out all of the calls for service, all of the incidents, everything like that for a particular address. So I'm not sure why they have to rely on CMPD to get this this data. But they made that request after five people got shot on New Year's Eve at the park. The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department still, has not provided the data. And so they use that as a retort to the CMPD Lieutenant Kevin Petrus, who said we feel like keeping the lines of communication open is important, so that's why we're here quarterly doing the crime stats. And the Observer's like, well, we asked for this data and you guys haven't given it to us. And look, they have a legitimate beef. CMPD needs to turn over the information. CMPD refusing to release data points. This has been a fairly recent trend. They've started not taking media requests and stuff for various crimes that get reported or incidents and such. So I don't like that trend. I appreciate the fact that they're holding a news conference where reporters get to ask some questions once a quarter. Sure. But if you get a records request and you still haven't done it, and it's now, mid-April, so you're running on, 4 months to compile a six-year look back for crime stats at a particular location, which, again, you used to have the mapping program, and I'm pretty sure it still exists, so I don't know why this is such a hassle. But also, there's been a massive increase in auto thefts, 30% increase in auto thefts. We are now approaching, for the first quarter, we got close to 2,000 auto thefts, mainly Kia and Hyundais, right? Because this is part of that TikTok challenge that the communist Chinese want us to use, right? To sow chaos, right? And to get youths in trouble with the law. I'm just kidding. They're not in trouble with the law. And that might actually be part of the problem. Right. When you create a permissive atmosphere, environment, a permission culture, then people will do the thing that is permitted. And so if these kids think that it's funny and cool to go out and steal Kias and Hyundais and suffer zero repercussions for it, unless, of course, they murder somebody in the process, then you're going to see more of it. And we keep seeing more and more of it. And about 80% of the people that have been arrested for the auto thefts were under the age of 18. It is clear what is occurring. And this is not new. And I guarantee you, law enforcement officers know how to get at this problem. But all they can do is bust a kid once they do it. They can't hold them. They can't sentence them. By the way, we've also seen a 42% increase in shootings into occupied homes. So we've got more drive-bys. Always remember, Jeff Taylor used to write a blog called The Mech Deck. And he used to refer to Charlotte back then. This was early 2000s when our crime, homicide numbers were like over 100, 120 annually. They did come down, by the way. But he used to refer to us as Detroit on the Catawba. So we've now got a massive spike in homicides. We got a massive spike in shooting into homes with 74 victims being hit. I just heard another report that some infant was hit last night or something. A 42% increase in the shootings into occupied homes and a 30% increase in auto thefts. We are encouraging a culture of criminality. And if you don't think this is by design, wake up. This is all part of the same infection in our society. It is all part of the same Marxist infection, right? The issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. The tearing down of the family has consequences, right? The tearing down of the legal system has consequences. Creating the permissive structure has consequences by design. And they can dress it up with all of the loving language that they would like. But what it always comes down to is always the revolution. Never the issue. It's the revolution. How do you explain this guy, Sharif Sudan Thompson, that stabbed a person and is out on an unsecured bond? Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us.
You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
Sharif Sudan Thompson, 36, no relation to the country as I understand it. I don't know, actually. But he's out of jail. Despite facing charges in a violent stabbing last week in Uptown Charlotte. Channel 9 learned he has a lengthy criminal history. Thompson has been arrested dozens of times before the stabbing on April 5th on East 7th Street near the light rail, which I'm sure will do wonders to boost ridership on the light rail line. Because what I have found in my travels, but also in my studies of current events and transit ridership data, that people love the threat of being knifed or maybe shot, sometimes pushed in front of the trains while waiting for the trains. Oh, it's just, it's part of the excitement of riding mass transit. Don't even get me started on the buses. Police said the attack was unprovoked. And despite his record, he didn't even have to come up with any money to get out of jail. Glenn Counts reporting for WSOC-TV. Says the 26-year-old victim was stabbed multiple times and taken to Novant Health Presbyterian Medical Center with life-threatening injuries. Officers arrested Thompson and charged him with assault with a deadly weapon, inflicting serious injury. He got out of jail soon after he was given a $5,000 unsecured bond. His first arrest on his adult record, he was 16 back in 2004, and since then he has been arrested dozens of times. Most of those charges would be considered minor. However, some of the more serious offenses include assault on a female, assault on an officer, assault with a deadly weapon with the intent to inflict serious injury, as well as drug possession and habitual misdemeanor assault. Guys, have you ever heard of one of the characteristics of future serial killers? You know what I'm going to, you know exactly what I'm going to say, right? The murder, the mutilation, the killing of animals, right? It's almost as if there are things that people do, they exhibit certain behaviors that are indicative of future violent criminal activity. These are some of the markers. Why are you letting this guy roam the streets? Why are you letting him back out? I'm seeing a report now, quote, migrants are now flooding New York City Hall to protest being moved to shelters instead of the luxury hotels they've been staying at. I've seen, I'll have some of the, well, here, actually, I'll go ahead and do it right now. I'll do it live. I'll do it now. All of these pro-Hamas protesters that are out in the streets, which, by the way, I just saw Detroit stopped a caravan of these moonbats. There was like, I don't know, 20 cars that were getting ready to do one of their blockades or something. Cops surrounded them and started arresting them or something, or giving them citations, whatever, which is amazing for Detroit, you know, blue city. Look, I said this yesterday, and I mean it, and it's not just on the crime stories that I've covered so far today. It's not just on this, the illegal immigration and these migrants marching for more stuff. It's not just on the Palestinian protesters shutting down nodes of traffic and commerce. This will continue until Americans say no more. That's it. Whether it's through law enforcement or vigilantism, it will come to an end. The action is the reaction. This is Marxism. That's why I keep saying, like, this is The issue is never the issue. The issue is the revolution. James Lindsay from New Discourses, the guy who laid bare the lie inside the soft sciences and the critical race theory and the social justice theory and critical theories, critical studies, right, where they did the spoof papers and got them published in all of these prestigious journals. They just made up stuff. And as long as you had the right conclusions and used the right words, then they would publish you. Because it's not about science. It's not about truth. It's about the revolution. So score. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. Scores of Free Palestine protesters across the United States took to the streets yesterday to block major airports, highways, and bridges. Those who are arrested will receive bail money and legal support from a left-wing dark money behemoth funded by take a guess. That's right, George Soros. Exactly right. Ooh. Pete said his name, George Soros. He must be an anti-Semite. That's the only defense. Anytime you identify where the funding comes from and it goes to George Soros, then the left's reaction is, you're an anti-Semite. Okay. That might work on some other people. It does not work on me. Shut up, you idiot. Okay? The protests, which took place in dozens of U.S. cities, including San Francisco, Chicago, or as I've seen it referred to as Chirac, as in Iraq. Okay. New York City, Philadelphia, they were all organized by a group called A15 Action. The letter A, the number 15, Action. I don't know what it means. I don't really care. Maybe it's like page A15 on the newspaper. But that doesn't make any sense because they don't even make newspapers with 15 pages anymore, do they? That's too soon? Okay, no, that's fair. Probably too soon. Anyway, this is a newly formed group that worked to, quote, coordinate a multi-city economic blockade on April 15th. Oh, okay. April 15th. So there you go. That was the A15. I guess it could also be August 15th, too. Any other? April, June, July, August. No, that's it. So just August. The group's website directs users to a bail and legal defense fund. And you know who the hosting platform is? Oh. Hang on. Take a guess. That's right, Act Blue. Very good. Act Blue, the Democrat Party's online fundraising platform. Act Blue. They're the ones raising the money for the bail for these moonbats. Those who donate to the fund, according to the Act Blue page, they're sending money to the Community Justice Exchange, which provides bail money, court fees, and fines, as well as other legal services to, quote, community-based organizations that contest the current operation and function of the criminal, legal, and immigration detention systems. The exchange, the Community Justice Exchange, is a project of, do you want to take a guess? I mean, at this point, it's just becoming obvious. It's the Tide Center, right? The Soros-funded Tides, right? It's okay. So that's a left-wing dark money network funded by George Soros as well as other lefty billionaires. The protesters who organized the global event targeted economic choke points with the express purpose of causing as much financial disruption as possible. So the thing to always remember, it is about the tearing down. This is not a movement that builds things, despite their rhetoric about, you know, growing from the bottom up and the middle out and whatever. Like, all that sounds to me is like you're getting fatter, okay? So the Marxist revolution, this idea, it is all predicated on a Hegelian view, which is to tear down, to rip down all the structures and to leave like the one perfect piece that was in the entire BS structure. And so you're in a constant state of immolation, constantly destroying in order to preserve the one perfected piece. And then you keep that separate and then you build up a whole new thing. And then you burn that hole down. And you take that one perfected piece, and now you got two perfected pieces. Yay. And the theory here is that over time, utopia. Yeah, except you never get there because it's not one of the actual options that's available on this planet. Ahead of the protests, this group said that it identified, quote, major choke points in the economy and that it would blockade to cause pain, end quote. The group listed more than 50 participating cities, San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, like we talked about yesterday as it was happening, Oakland, California, Philadelphia, New York City. They did this on Wall Street. They were wearing Hamas bandanas. They were flying Hezbollah flags. Hezbollah, right? Which, again, before Al-Qaeda killed 2,000 Americans, it was Hezbollah was the number one murderer of Americans as far as Islamic jihadist groups go. They're carrying Hezbollah flags. Banks located near the protest site also got vandalized. I was proud to see that in Florida, a bunch of these moon bats had done the thing with the tubes on the arms, you know, like so they slip these PVC pipes over their arms and then they hold arms this way. You can't break the chain. The cops just walked over and just started dragging them, just dragging them off the sidewalk, throwing them up against the curb and having the cars go. And then they arrested them all. See, yeah, you're not in San Francisco, Floridians. This stuff will continue until Americans say enough, right? One way or another, one way or the other. For example, this story went national. A miner was not like somebody who digs for ore and coal or something, but a miner was harassed at a Planet Fitness gym in North Carolina after a 38-year-old dude who claimed he identified as a woman allegedly barged into the female locker room and stripped naked. Oh, was that wrong? Am I not supposed to do that? According to the Gastonia Police Department, Christopher Allen Miller, 38, was arrested for indecent exposure following an incident on April 4th at a Planet Fitness gym in Gastonia. Miller allegedly barged into the woman's locker room, stripped down completely naked in front of a 17-year-old girl, according to WSOC-TV. The local news outlet said that the man allegedly asked the teen to rub lotion and shower together. Rub lotion on him and to shower together with him. And one woman then called 911 to report the intrusion. After Miller's arrest, he was held on bail on a $25,000 bond. So not Mecklenburg County. So that was his first mistake. Not doing the accosting in Mecklenburg County. Because if he was in Mecklenburg County, he'd already be back out, you know, making trips to all of the various other Planet Fitnesses. Planet Fitness, Fitnay, whatever. All of the different gyms, gymnasia. Planets Fitness. Yeah, like attorneys general. Planets Fitness, right. Thank you, Tommy. Planet Fitness policy states that members are allowed to use locker rooms based on their self-reported gender identity. Quote, all members will have access to restroom and locker room facilities that correspond to their self-reported gender identity to the extent permitted by applicable law. In a statement to Fox News Digital, McCall Goslin, chief corporate affairs officer at Planet Fitness, said that the gym had no tolerance, zero tolerance for harassment. Over at WSOC-TV, they report, without talking to Miller, there's no way for Channel 9 to know whether Miller truly is transgender. Not sure you're going to be able to figure that out, even if you do talk to him. Even if you talk to him, you will not be able to determine if he is really transgender. You know why? Because it's just whatever he wants to tell you. There isn't a way to prove to you, the newsroom, that he really is what he says he is. And here's another hard truth, okay? Criminals lie. It's true, just like commies. It's kind of the same thing. They lie. They lie in service to their criminal activity or to their fetishes, right? To their peccadillos. They will lie in service towards that end, they want to get into as many of these locker rooms as they can. So they're going to keep saying the thing that allows them to gain access. And it's going to continue until Americans say stop.
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.